genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turn now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We're live every day, Monday through Friday at 10 o'clock here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. You can also hear us streaming over the Internet at brainstormingonline.com. My goal is to bring you interviews with thought leaders in business, entertainment, sports, and the local community. Together, we'll listen to what these people say and relate it to how we live and work right here in Ventura County. Brainstorming with Billy the Brain is smart radio with sharp questions aimed at intelligent guests. It's talk radio done right for the 21st century. If you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008, or if you're outside of the area code, it's area code 805-639-0008. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is retelling of an old story. Each of my guests will discuss his take on his subject to show how everything old is new again. My first guest is a best-selling author with more than 13 million books in print. He's the master of the Christmas season, and we'll discuss his latest book, Lost December. My second guest is the antidote to CNBC, Fox Business, and Bloomberg. He's the watchdog on Wall Street, and we'll discuss his no-nonsense approach to our current financial and political situations to reveal how everything old is new again. My third guest is an historian and a presidential scholar. He's been compared to Doris Keynes Goodwin, another great historian. We'll discuss Harry Truman's improbable victory and the year that transformed America from his latest book, 1948. And if you want to ask a question or join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Richard Paul Evans is the number one best-selling author of The Christmas Box. His novels have appeared in the New York Times bestseller list. For there, he has more than 13 million copies of his book in print. He's the winner of the 1998 American Mother's Book Award, two First Place Storytelling World Awards for his children's books, the 2005 Romantic Times Best Woman's Novel of the Year, and the 2010 Lesper's Gold Award for Romance, and the 2011 Wilbur Awards for Fiction. Richard received the Washington Times Humanitarian of the Century Award and the Volunteers of America National Empathy Award for his work helping abused children. He lives in Salt Lake City with his wife and their five children. Joining us from Salt Lake, how are you today, Richard?
Doing great, thank you.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on the show and for the wonderful stories that you've written over the years. And you really have become sort of the master of Christmas season writing stories that really touch our hearts during the holidays. Why do you think, Richard, it is that Christmas evokes such a powerful emotion in people?
I can only speak for myself, but I love Christmas. Or maybe as Dickens said, that it's one time of the year we see each other as fellow passengers to the grave.
Well, that's a great line from Charles Dickens.
Yeah.
But and so for you, Christmas is a very poignant time of the year. What does it mean to you, and why does it evoke such emotions in you?
Well, it's a time of family, and it's also coming at the end of the year. It's a time of thinking about the year and just reflecting. And so I don't know. It's just I'm glad we have it. It's kind of like the end of a long week, and it's a time of great thoughtfulness.
Well, and that it is. And you said that that's your personal take on it, Richard. But I dare to say that, you know, your stories are always centered around Christmas, or your big best-selling stories are, and that resonates with readers. So you must be touching the hearts of other people as well. How do you, as a writer, really pull out that emotion of Christmas in your stories and make the reader feel that they're part of the story?
Christmas is just a backdrop. It needs to come down to the strength of the story itself. And to have something that people relate to on a personal level, like this year's book. Should I go into it?
We're going to get into it in depth, so let's dive right into it. Lost December is the book. Richard Paul Evans is the author, so yeah, let's dive into it.
Well, I was thinking this year, what do I want to write for my fall book? And I asked myself the question, what do I want to read? Which is probably the best question any writer could ask themselves. So, Well, I love stories of redemption, from The Christmas Carol to Return of the Jedi. Any story where the bad guy turns good in the end, there's something that's very satisfying about that. And so I pondered that, and I thought, what is the most popular story of redemption ever written? And came up with, it's probably the story of the prodigal son in the Bible.
Absolutely.
So yeah. I looked at the story and thought, what if this story didn't take place 2,000 years ago? What if it happened today? The father is the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And then let's write it from the son's perspective, because we don't really know anything about the son other than everyone hates him. It's like, let's talk about his story and why he goes the way he goes. And it turned into a really interesting story.
Well, that it did. Now, your protagonist is Luke Crisp. His father his father is there, very successful business person. Kind of give us a quick synopsis of what the book is about, if you will, Richard.
Carl's wife, Luke's mother, died when Luke was young, and so he was raised by his father. And his father was starting a copy center chain that was growing international. And so he said, when other fathers were teaching their boys how to throw baseballs, my dad was teaching me how to change a color cartridge in a copy machine. And so he grows up in the business. He loves it, and he is being primed to take over the business someday. Well, his dad drops on him that he thinks that he should go get a master's in business back east. And Luke doesn't want to leave. He's happy where he is. He's happy with his father, and they have a good relationship. And his father says, you know, you need the experience. I want you to develop wings. And knowing full well what he's sending him into, he wanted his son to grow up. And so he sends his son back, and it's not long before his son makes friends with the wrong crowd, and they slowly and very carefully corrupt him until he decides that he doesn't want to run the business anymore. He takes his trust fund and he just plays. Goes to Europe, and after losing all the money, his friends, of course, leave him, and he ends up homeless in Las Vegas. And so it really does follow the story of the prodigal son quite closely. He ends up in a job. He's thinking, you know, my dad takes good care of his employees. And so he actually ends up working at one of the little copy center chains. No one knows that his dad owns the chain.
Mm. Well, it's a great story. It's a great retelling of the prodigal son coming back. But let me ask you this, because as I was reading through it, you brought it up into modern times, which is nice, Richard. However, did you choose for Luke to go to Wharton Business School to portray sort of the capitalistic lifestyle? Are you tapping into this populist sentiment that's out there in the United States about Occupy Wall Street and all successful capitalists are bad guys?
Well, no. First of all, I don't believe that. I'm an entrepreneur myself. It's interesting because my publisher, now this was written before Occupy Wall Street. I mean, I write these books a year out.
Oh, sure.
And so my publisher immediately jumped onto that. He goes, wow, you totally tuned into the sentiment. I was trying to, you know, he went to Wharton Business College because it's one of the best business colleges in the world.
Absolutely.
And his dad wanted to send him someplace that he could learn. But no, I don't have any axe to grind. I believe in capitalism. I'm an entrepreneur, and I think it. You know, I've lived in communist countries, so it's like I've seen both sides.
Really? Now, where have you lived that's been in a former communist country?
Actually, I shouldn't say I lived. I actually lived in Taiwan for 2 years and spent time in China.
Oh.
And had so I should say I lived with people from communist countries.
Gotcha.
And actually spent many hours in conversations with them.
And what do those conversations teach you? I just want to stay on this entrepreneurial theme for a moment.
Well, what entrepreneurialism does is it gives incentive. To go out and start a business requires tremendous risk. It requires a tremendous amount of work. And most people aren't up to it. I mean, there were times when I was trying to get my career started where I worked more than 100 hours a week. I remember one time I looked back, I said, I averaged $3.15 an hour.
Ouch.
This week. You don't do that if there's not a possibility of some payoff. And you take that away and then you kill it. And there's no secret to that, and everyone in China knows that. It's like as soon as you open up, things expand. That's why they started making the changes they did. So that's just the reality. You can like it or hate it, but that's the reality.
That is the way it is. My guest is Richard Paul Evans. He's the author of the new book, Lost December, and we're talking not only about this book, but really about his career. The other thing that I found very interesting in reading your book about Carl and Luke Crisp is that they own a copy center. And I want to tie this back into your own entrepreneurialism and an urban legend that I've heard. Your first book, The Christmas Box, which is a huge bestseller, perhaps one of the best-selling Christmas books of all time. Urban legend has it that you wrote that story for your daughters. You were sitting at a kitchen table doing it at night, that you actually copied it at a Kinko's, shared it with some friends. Your friends thought it was great and sort of urged you to push you to publish it. Then you self-published that first book until an Eastern publisher came along and bought out the rights to the book. First of all, is that true? Is that urban legend true? And if it is, it's almost as touching as the story itself.
It's 100% true, actually. And that's what Katie Kirk said the first time I was on the Today Show. She said the story behind the book's better than the book.
It is. It really is.
20 copies and handed them out for Christmas presents. And within weeks, those 20 copies had been read hundreds of times.
Sure, but you're overlooking the best part to me, Richard, and that is, why were you writing the book? You were writing the book for your daughters. At that time, you had just a few children, and you were writing it for them. It was part of your legacy. To me, that's almost as touching as the story itself.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? It was perfect, because it's interesting that the things I've been the most successful at were things I weren't doing for money. That is not a surprise. If you read the Steve Jobs book, it's like, that's actually, when you're focused on the product and not the money. When you care about what you're doing, that's when we create the greatest works. And so Christmas Box was just a story. I wanted to capture the love I was feeling for my two little girls. I was a new father, and it was a very exciting time. And I hope that, you know, if I could capture it, that when they're older and maybe hold their own baby in their arms, they'll read the book and say, I get it. That's how Dad felt about me.
Yeah. Oh, it's an amazing story. My guest is Richard Paul Evans. Richard, taking your own life story, I mean, what does that tell us about self-publishing, the large publishing houses back east? What does that say about the book industry today, if anything?
Well, the thing about the book industry is that it is evolving in so many ways. It has changed in so many ways. When I started, there was not an Amazon.com, and so you didn't have national distribution. You had thousands of independent bookstores. Even Barnes & Noble hadn't come into Salt Lake City yet, or it had barely come in. And so it was a very different environment. And now we have the price clubs, and you have the dot-coms, and then you have the events of the e-books, which has now become a very substantial market. So the one thing that, you know, you to understand is that everything's changing constantly. You need to keep up with it.
Without a doubt. So what does that tell us, if there's any lesson to be learned there, about redemption and staying on top of things, particularly when you're an entrepreneur, as you are in the publishing world?
I don't know if redemption and staying on top of things go together in this case. You know, when I write a book, I really don't think about the business of it. I can't. Last December, when I was near the end of it, I was actually crying. I was very moved, and it opened my eyes about my relationship with God. It was something that was really powerful for me, and about what grace really is. You know, he goes back to plead his case before his father. His father had never condemned him. His father would just wanted him home. And that part, when I wrote it, I sat there and I literally wept. And I thought, well, I don't know if people will relate to it, but we put it out there, and you know, I kind of accept failure. It's like, you know, I'll probably get attacked by critics and people will hate it. Instead, it debuts in the top five of the New York Times bestsellers list. It's been on the list for 6 weeks now, and it's in its fifth printing, so it's doing extremely well.
Yeah, that it is. Well, talk to me about that father, that openness. Did you have a role model in your life that was open to you in such a way that with no conditions, no holds barred, anything like that? Or did you draw that from your imagination?
That's a good question. My father was... My father's a really good man. We had a lot of children, 8 children, and so I didn't know him well. And that might sound kind of strange. We had a very laissez-faire environment at home. I was junior class president, and my parents never knew it.
Wow.
We just kind of were on our own. I now look back, I'm grateful for the independence we had, because everything we got, we did on our own. Mm-hmm. Financially, we struggled most of our lives and went through some very hard years where, you know, 10 of us lived in a 2-bedroom duplex. I slept on the floor for more than 2 years.
Wow.
So, there were those hard times, but, you know, I look back, and that's what kind of gave me the fire in the belly to succeed and to keep going.
Oh, that is great. What a great story. My guest is Richard Paul Evans, author of the new book, Lost December. Great Christmas read. If you're looking for a Christmas present for friends or family, I would recommend this as being one of the top Christmas books of the year. Richard, what do you want readers to take away from reading the book, Lost December?
I want them to understand God's love. I want them to read that and say, this is who I hope God is. This gives me hope. Because when I was writing it, that's how it affected me. So I hope they feel the same way, and apparently it is, because I get the letters, and right the day after the book came out, I started getting letters in the middle of the night. You know, they just start coming down, and everyone was crying when they're writing, and there were tears of gratitude and joy, and this has been a hard year. It's hard for a lot of people. They've gone through a lot.
Mm.
So.
Yeah, without a doubt. Love, hope, and redemption. You cannot ask for a better trifecta than those three. You'll find them all in the book, Lost December, the author, Richard Paul Evans. Richard, if people want to learn more about you, learn more about the book, Lost December, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
I'd go to my website, richardpaulevans.com. If you're if you buy books online, barnesandnoble.com and amazon.com, of course, have sold thousands and thousands of copies already, so you can get them there. Or your local bookstore. But go to my website, richardpaulevans.com, and you can read up more about it and some of the things I'm involved with.
Oh, that is great. Richard, it has been a delight having you as my guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Fabulous. Thank you so much. Have a very Merry Christmas.
And to you, too.